We have over 6,000 abandoned mines in the country, and in the current policy environment, it is expected that the number can only swell. And the question is why? Now, last year at the Joburg Indaba, during a very important breakfast discussion on the implications of NEMA, which is the National Environmental Management Act, on the mining industry, one of the key overwhelming thoughts to emerge was that it's the interpretation of NEMA which has proven to be one of the biggest challenges for the industry. There were fears that it would become even more complex with the second iteration of the regulations which were released towards the back end of last year, but it does seem that the industry actually has a little bit to smile about for a change on the regulatory front. Sandra Gore, Director in Corporate and Commercial at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, welcome to this week's Sustainability Slot.
Hi, thanks a lot.
Now, obviously doing no harm to the environment is becoming something of a conscious company movement around the globe. And in the mining sector, I think the mantra becomes infinitely more complicated in the context of leaving mining communities better off after mining than what they were before. But clearly the system hasn't been working if we have more than 6,000 abandoned mines. Do you have any ideas as to why we don't have a single case study of successful mine closure in the country?
Well, I think one of the main reasons for the DMR not closing was because of, obviously, historical liabilities. And under the MPRDA, once you issued a closure certificate, you were absolved of rehabilitation liability. So, I mean, in 2004, the last numbers was that 575 closure certificates actually hadn't been issued. And this was more in the state's interest to ensure that the mines continued being liable for rehabilitation.
And that brings us to provisioning, and you know, the mining companies obviously having to put some money away, tuck it away in trust for the eventuality that they're going to have to pay to remediate the land that they've been mining on. What is the real objective, and just give us a big, a brief history of the financial provisioning laws, because it does seem to have changed quite substantially with these regulations.
Yeah, well, I mean, the mining industry is the only sector that's expressly required to actually put up rehabilitation liability. And, I mean, studies were done of 60 operational mines. Only 60% of operational mines actually had adequate financial provision in place. So this is obviously a major concern. The previous regulations were under the Minerals and Petroleum Regulations Act. They've subsequently been moved to NEMA and the National Environmental Management Act, and the Department of Environmental Affairs is the competent authority to draft legislation. So there has been a massive overhaul, and the requirements are a lot more onerous now in terms of NEMA. Unfortunately, the first set of regulations that were drafted for various reasons was termed by the Chambers of Mines to actually have a crippling effect on the mining industry. And the matter was even taken to the High Court to review because the regulations were completely nonsensical and very difficult to interpret, obviously leaving regulatory uncertainty and great concerns for investors.
I mean, in particular, there just wasn't any clarity on the way that you as a mining company could draw down from your financial provision vehicles to undertake mine rehabilitation. It does look, though, that from the latest iteration of the regulations, that some greater certainty has now at last been achieved. How so?
So, I mean, that section was definitely not thought through, and unfortunately also, you know, the Department of Finance and the Department of Environmental Affairs kept wanting to talk to each other, and they didn't. So, I mean, in a nutshell, under the Income Tax Act, if you used a certain rehabilitation trust fund, you obtained tax benefits. The regulations that are now in place, however, say that you can only use that for what I term future rehabilitation. That's something latent or residual impacts that may become known in the future. So you couldn't actually draw down for your withdrawal from from that trust for closure costs or annual costs. And if you did, you'd incur taxes that would be equal to the amount drawn down, twice the amount drawn down. So, I mean, mining companies really were in a catch-22 as that money was frozen, and then they also couldn't use the trust funds to obtain the tax benefits. So thankfully that has been restored. That was one of the biggest technical problems with the draft regulations that still are in place. And it has been proposed to be deleted.
Overall, Sandra, as we have around 30 seconds left here, does it look like the mining industry will be pleased with these regulations, and does it look like it'll start to unblock the bottleneck that we've seen in mine closure certificates?
It probably will start to unbottle the bottleneck, but look, it's still incredibly onerous, and the cost assessments I've seen based on the new regulations can even be double the liability. So obviously a financially crippled sector is going to take a big knock with these regulations, and that's mainly, you know, closing off, because they provide for residual costs of pumping extraneous water. So it's your acid mine drainage, and they have to provide for those costs during the life of mine.
So some issues resolved, but clearly not all of them. Sandra Gore, Director in Corporate and Commercial at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, talking about the latest NEMA regulations with regards to financial provisioning in this week's sustainability slot.
Would you take drugs?